Welcome to the E-Commerce Badassery Podcast, the place for scrappy entrepreneurs who want to learn actionable steps and strategies to grow the traffic, sales, and profit in your e-commerce business. I'm your host, Jessica Totillo-Koster, a 20-year retail veteran and former brick-and-mortar boutique owner who spent 3 years as the only employee of a seven-figure online store. That shit was crazy. I know exactly how it feels to do all the things, and I'm sharing everything I learned the hard way so you don't have to. I may have started this business by accident, but supporting badass bosses like you lights me the fuck up, and I am so stoked to see you grow. Are you ready, babe? Let's roll. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Badassery Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Totillo-Koster. Today we have Sierra Stockland back on the podcast, profit strategist and debt whisperer. Those are my words, not hers. Sierra was on the show in June of 2023. It's episode 229, where we talked all about learning to get comfortable with our reporting and managing our inventory. We're still talking numbers and money, but today we're taking a deeper dive into the importance of setting profit goals and how to actually calculate them. Admittedly, we did go off on a few tough love tangents, but please know it's all out of love. And because we've made all of the mistakes before, we really want to help you avoid these mistakes as much as possible. What's that quote? Only a fool learns from his own mistakes. The wise man learns from the mistakes of others. I really wish I had taken that advice when I was a teenager. But in all seriousness, profit is what makes a business. So let's get serious about it. Okay, I'll stop rambling. Let's hop into the episode. Hey, Sierra, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm super excited to have you back. Listeners, if you didn't already know, Sierra was on the show. I think it was in June-ish of 2023. It's episode 229. And we talked all about the profit first method, understanding your cash flow and managing inventory and turning it into cash. So if you've never listened to that, I definitely recommend you go back and listen. Super eye-opening. And I love Sierra's mission of just getting more money into everyone's pockets.
Yes.
You please. Sum it up like that, right?
Please. Yes.
So tell me what's new, what's been going on, what are you focusing on with your clients this year? Tell me all the things.
Oh, Jessica, I feel like I just do not have enough time in the day to feel the urgency. I just want these business owners winning. So I'm doing everything I can to just talk about profit, making money, keeping more of it. Lately, I've been a little ornery as I've been trying to debunk these random lies that have shown up in entrepreneurial world or have been in existence for a while. Things like you won't make money for 5 years, don't expect to pay yourself, things like that. That just is getting more and more frustrating for me because I know that there's a better way than that. And I know that those things are not true. And I don't know who made those things up in the first place. So I'll say lately, I've been getting more feisty when it comes to talking about these subjects.
I love that because I love me some feisty chat for sure. I'm all about the feisty. Okay. So my experience, the majority of my experience, yes, I owned my own brick and mortar boutique and all of that. But a lot of my experience comes from corporate, right? It's these big companies. They have deep pockets. They can make a whole bunch of investment in something and not necessarily get money back. And it's fine because they've got something else that's generating the revenue. And I think sometimes what happens is people see that and they think, oh, that's how I'm supposed to do it too.
Yeah.
And I see this is like kind of a silly example when you're talking about profit, but I see this in email too. Like they will be on a retailer's email list and they're like, well, this person is emailing me 3 times a day and it's all image based and all of this and all of that. And I'm like, that's because they have millions of subscribers and it grows so quickly that it doesn't matter if you churn, if you don't click, if you don't buy. Like they don't have to try that hard.
Interesting. I've never thought of this.
Right? Yeah. Like Target doesn't have to try very hard to get you to click an email and buy.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't matter because people are just going to go and buy anyway. So I think the frame that they're starting from is just kind of incorrect. Now, that's not to say I talk to people about this with ads, right? When you first start ads, you might not be profitable.
And that's okay, right? Because it will eventually catch up and you're getting data and all of that. So I think we just need to be more specific about when that's okay and separate that from your business as a whole.
Yeah. And I think what makes me fired up is that people take that then and use it as an excuse not to do the hard work. They're like, I'm not making money, but you know, small business, you don't make money for 5 years. I'm not paying myself, but you know, like that's the way. And so it's this excuse. I give an example, like, you know, I do triathlons and I had a loose acquaintance. I knew her. She was going to the world championships in Kona, which is a big deal. She had to qualify to get there, just like all of it. So she could do this day, like she could race. And the entire trip there, and when we got there and we would run into her, she was giving me all these excuses why the day probably wouldn't work. Like, oh, you know, I've been sick leading up to it. I didn't really know how to taper, like all these things. And I was like, you're saying those things so that if you have a day that doesn't turn out the way you want, you've set yourself up with everyone around you to be like, oh yeah, I knew it. I told you. And I was like, that is an awful way to go into anything, like to give yourself permission to fail. And I think that's what business owners do. So they get this information and then they use it a lot of times, not knowingly, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay then to not do the hard work or to not be where I should be.
And yeah. Look, there is a balance, right? There is absolutely a balance. But I do think that it's really great that you're having this conversation with people and that we're talking about it, because one of the things I've really realized over my years on this planet, because I used to always be like, expect the worst, hope for the best. Like that was always my frame of mind. And I am by no means am I like the go-to girl for mindset stuff. But ultimately, when you are approaching things from that way, you just naturally, because you're human, you don't put in that same amount of effort because you're like, yeah, it's probably not going to work anyway. So like, why bother?
Right.
And I do that. Like I do that with Instagram.
We all do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't posted on Instagram because I'm like, what's the friggin' point? You know, granted, that's also because it's just better for me mentally not to be thinking about that all the time. So there's a time and a place for that. But I do think that is it really just because we need to believe that we can do more than we think we can do? Like if you just like strip it all away, is that just like the message at the bottom?
Yeah. I don't know. It's really interesting. The mind, I've been learning so much about that with all of the triathlon training. I never thought about mindset before. In fact, I would probably be one of the people be like, oh, gobbledygook, you know, work hard, do the things, you know. But our mind is a powerful tool, muscle, whatever we want to say, right? Our mind plays a big role in the outcome of things. Not always. There's always external, you know, things that can come into play, but a lot of it is our mindset. And that's something too that I've been working on with clients a lot, or I've been realizing and then working on clients with, is the confidence piece. So going in and looking at people's numbers with them, it builds confidence that naturally creates success. So when you aren't confident in something that you're doing, you naturally shrink back. You don't give it your all, you go halfway, right? And so if we can build the confidence, like, no, you are the boss of your business and you can know the numbers as good as your CPA, doesn't mean you have to love it, but you can really actually know your business. Suddenly this light bulb is like, oh my goodness, well, if I can know that, I can do this and I can get here. Like it just opens up this interesting piece. So when people come there, I was like, well, if we need to on our calls, can we talk about like marketing or, you know, do you ever talk about sales? And I always say, well, I'm not a marketing expert at all. I mean, I've marketed some stuff and I know good people that I can direct you to. Feels probably, but naturally, we're going to get into those conversations in the right time, in the right way. We're naturally going to increase your sales because suddenly you're focused on the right things with confidence. And it's all like mindset. I told someone once, I don't do mindset coaching. She's like, oh my goodness, Sierra, you work with money. Yes, you do. Yeah, it's a lot of mind.
Yeah, I think too, and I talk about this all the time, and it's why I focus on data so much and why clients and students of mine, like they are so afraid of Google Analytics or they get so overwhelmed. And I know you deal with this and we talked about this on your last episode about understanding those reports in your accounting software, right?
Yeah.
Like understanding that cash flow and your P&L and all that. There is so much power in those numbers. And one of the things that I really figured out in my personal finances, and I know you mentioned this, and I was actually just talking to Kristen Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she's going to be, her episode's going to be publishing soon. It will probably already be published by the time you guys are listening to this recording, but we were talking about you as well. And just because you don't look doesn't mean that like the debt isn't there or the problems aren't there, right? Like not looking doesn't make it go away. And I learned that in my personal finances years ago. Granted, I was working full time, going to school full time, paying for all these things by myself. So I was the girl who was paying her car payment, but not paying her insurance because she couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And then just like hoping I didn't get pulled over. I really don't recommend that to anyone. And I used to just not look. Yeah. And what I realized is the more time I spent with my money, the more money I had.
Yes, it's so true.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the same is true in your business. Yeah.
I know we work on in my main program, we benchmark. So everyone enters specific data points. And what's super interesting is often people will, in my program, will be like, can you tell me the benefit of doing, like, how should I use the benchmarking? And I was like, the number one benefit is that it forces you to look at your numbers every Monday. And the growth comes from you looking at your numbers. Yes, it's great to see what other people are doing and am I online and I'm going to reach out to, that's great. That's an added benefit. But the true product from it is the ability for you to know what's going on in your business on a very consistent basis. And that naturally produces revenue because where your focus is, the results, they follow that focus. They just really do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the saying is like what you water grows or there's probably a lot of different ones.
Yeah. All the little things. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just freaking true. Like it just is. So I think obviously, I'm someone who loves to teach about marketing, and that is my jam. But no amount of marketing will make you profitable or get you out of debt if you're not focused on that stuff. And, you know, we share a client when I had my first call with them, and this was a side gig, still had a full-time job, but making seven figures in revenue. And I was like, where is all of your money? Why have you not been able to quit your job yet? Like, I just didn't get it. And when we started diving in, there was debt, there was too much inventory. And I was like, oh, you got to go talk to Sierra. She's going to help you get out of that. And then every follow-up I've had with them is like, yep, we moved this inventory. We're doing this, we're doing that, paying down this debt. And so no amount of revenue, no amount of marketing, no amount of anything. The only true thing that matters is
the numbers. At the end of the day, it's like what's left at the bottom. What drops to the bottom? And we try to figure out all this, you know, sometimes someone will say, well, I can't figure this out. And I'm like, it's a simple math problem. Like what's coming in isn't covering what's going out. Okay. And maybe you're not a big spender, but you don't have margin there. So there's nothing to drop to the bottom for that profit. And at the end of the day, it's not what you make at the top. It's how much money you keep, which is what we've been working on a lot around here lately is setting profit goals versus top line revenue goals. And I'm sure you see this, right? People come to you market. They're like, I just want to be a $1 million business. Jessica, you can help me do this with marketing. It's going to be the magic bullet. And you're like, okay, the thing is though, if we just increase those sales and you don't have the foundation fixed, all the problems are going to follow right alongside that. And it's a long slog too. I know, you know, the client that you're talking about, like it's a long slog. It is, we have great months and then we have setbacks again. And then we have another great month, but we're making progress forward. Like we're way different spot than we were before. But focusing on the right things is not an easy, quick 30-day turnaround out of debt, making all the money.
I mean, here's the thing. You can get in the hole real fast, right?
Like, that's fast, unfortunately.
The ground will just open up and swallow you, but you literally have to climb your way out. And I mean, it's kind of like quicksand, really. So the best thing you can do is just avoid it at all costs. from the beginning. Now, that's not to say you can't, you know, turn it around. You can absolutely do that. But if you are in a place right now, listener, where you're not in debt and all of that, maybe you're just scraping by right now. That's okay. Now just focus on the profit piece and get yourself ahead. You know, the other thing that's really misleading just in the general business marketplace, and you don't see this as much now as interest rates have gone up and investment dollars just aren't out there, but there were all of these D2C companies over the last few years, and they're just getting millions and millions of dollars invested into them. And they're building what looks like these really great big businesses, but you know what? They're not making money. They're in the red. Yeah. So there's this misconception about how to actually do this well and keep the money, I think.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I do have people that come to me and they're like, I want to hit $1 million in revenue. And my first question is, why? And
yeah.
most of the time, there's no answer because they don't yeah. know. It just sounds pretty.
Have
right?
you ever heard someone say, because when I hit $1 million, that means I'll have $200,000 in net profit, which will give me a salary? No. Like, I mean, maybe you have. I've never had that.
No, but, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't. Yeah. And look, you know, and I say this on the podcast all the time, like when we're having conversations like this, please know this is all being said with love.
Because we did it the wrong way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
because we've done this too. So I don't want you to ever feel like, oh my God, they're so condescending. No, it's because
no.
we've been there
yes.
and we've screwed this up. We just want to help you avoid that. So let's talk about setting profit goals, because I had another student who she has a great business. She is profitable. As she grows, she's reinvested to hire more people to keep growing. They're paying themselves. They don't have debt and all of that.
Yeah.
But when we had kind of sat down to set goals, she's like, I've never done this before.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and so even setting a profit goal, she was like, I, where do I start? And she didn't yeah. even know. So
yeah.
why don't we kind of walk them through what your process would be for that?
Yeah. So it's a framework that I use with everyone. It doesn't matter if you have $10,000 in revenue a month or you're doing $1 million every other month, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's the same framework. And everyone I work with has inventory. So we always start with the margin. So let's look at what is your margin today? Can we find that margin? Sometimes we have. And there again, this is because we've been there and because I know where people have been and where I've gotten them. I had a multi-million dollar, amazingly profitable, no debt business come to me. Same thing, taking a paycheck, all the things. They have never entered any inventory ever.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm estimating and guesstimating that we maybe have about $1 million in retail dollars available to us. So we're working on that project and it's a big one, right? This is going to take us months to get this
yes.
correct in. But they know, you never know what happens with the economy. You don't know what's going to happen with employees, anything like that. We've got to get our house in order. We can't run off of luck, like you said, anymore.
Yeah.
And so I use the same process with them as I would use with someone that's like, I'm about to go bankrupt. I have $150,000 in debt. I'm not making sales. I haven't taken a paycheck. I'm behind on rent, right? Same process. Mm-hmm. And that is, we look at the margin first. So what's our running margin? Then we look at, okay, what are our operating expenses? This is not debt. This is not purchasing inventory. This is true, like fixed, non-fixed expenses. What does it cost to open your doors every month? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we spell that out. And then we look at, if we have X in sales with X amount in margin where you're sitting right now, can it cover our operating expenses? And if it can, are we happy with what it's dropping to the bottom? If we're not happy, we have three levers we can pull. We can go back to our margin, which is always where I go back first. We can look at eliminating some expenses, and there's usually some fluff we can cut. And then we can look at top line revenue, and that's where like someone like you can help, like let's increase revenue. But we don't want to hit that lever first before we fix margin and operating expenses to know that's going to deliver us our net profit. And then that goal at the bottom, that net profit goal, has to cover and service our debt. So if we have debt, let's say we have $10,000 across credit cards, line of credit, fixed SBA loan every month, we're servicing $10,000 in payments. We have to have a net profit of at least $10,000 to cover that and service that debt. If we don't, we have to go back to the drawing board. We need more margin. We have to increase sales. We've got to eliminate some expenses. So we set our profit goal to service our debt, to service us as a business owner, and to leave us with a little bit extra at the end of the
yeah.
day, you know? And so that's how we set those profit goals. It's really following a profit and loss statement. And just working through each of those buckets until we feel super comfortable with what that black number is for us at the end of the page.
I love yeah. that. And it's just so important. I can't stress enough the importance of it. If you don't have profit, you don't have a business. You have a really expensive
no.
hobby.
Yeah. And a stressful one too.
A very stressful
you know?
one.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will say, like, I have all this money coming in. I might even show, you know, I show profit on my P&L. I had to pay taxes, tax season now. Like, oh my goodness, here, I just owed a bunch in taxes. I have no money in my checking account. How can I owe on a profitable business, have no money in my checking account? I don't understand. A lot of times that's a debt issue. So we have profit, but we're not able to service our debt. And you got to understand those numbers. Otherwise, yeah, you're constantly on that hamster wheel, stressed out, And really, what's the point? You're just working for free. And all totally. The gray hairs like me, you know, like all the gray. I just went to the salon again and I'm like, we've got to do something about this. I don't even know. Like, I can't come every other week. I just don't have time.
That's why I started to grow mine out. Now I'm lucky.
I know, but you have beautiful black hair. Like, yeah. So it's gorgeous.
I'm lucky, one, in where it physically grows. Like, this yeah. is just where it comes. And because of the contrast on my dark yeah. hair, for sure. But
we
yeah,
have mousy brown awesome. Hair. The grays are just not that cute. But I blame my nonprofit making days for my gray hair. I'm just saying. You know, it started the whole thing. And like, here we are.
Yeah, no, I totally yeah. get it. And look, there are going to be times, especially early on in your business. Like, I look at my business now and I'm sort of in this transition of doing less done for you stuff and doing more educational stuff. And so there's definitely a shift in revenue there while my expenses haven't necessarily gone down, right? Because I have, yeah. it's mostly software are the expenses in my business. That's a transition period. That's okay. I'm also not going into debt. I'm obviously yeah. still profitable and paying my bills and all of that. But that can't be the baseline that you're always
yeah.
at.
Comfortable with and settling yeah. for. And I think yeah. that's a good point. You know, just like you do with your clients, what does success look like you or to you? You know, you ask them, what are your goals? I do the same thing because success to someone might be to finally pay debt off or to take a little bit of a paycheck or just to pad their personal savings account or to bring their husband home from work. Like, it all looks so different. That's why we can't build these top line. Like, I need to be a 7-figure business. Okay, but what does that do for you personally? Like, does that get you to Disneyland every single year or not? Because if it doesn't, then who cares if you're a 7-figure business, right?
Yeah.
And so just looking at like, what does success look like? And then knowing, like you said, that there's going to be seasons. So if we're really aggressively going after debt, you probably can't take a $30,000 a year paycheck yet. Like, you can, but it's going to take us longer to pay off the debt. Or we can aggressively go after the debt. Once that's done, we can look at a paycheck. We have to remember in our business, there's seasons for everything. Sometimes, actually a lot of time, I help clients eliminate revenue streams because that's another enemy of profitability is complexity. So I'm not selling anything. Yeah. Now I need to have a subscription box and I need to wholesale and I need to private label. And I'm like, oh my goodness, now you're going 5 bajillion directions yeah. and adding expense. So a lot of times I'll help people eliminate complexity. And sometimes that will bring revenue way down, like you said, right? Because you're shifting. But we're doing it with intention. We're no longer just throwing spaghetti, hoping it works. Like, no, we know this is going to bring our revenue down. However, I'm going to have 10 more hours in my week, which I can focus on my subscription box, which is going to increase revenue or margin. So it's all about being really thoughtful with our choices, too.
So important. I had a conversation. Her name is Ellie. I'll put a link to her episode on the podcast in the show notes because I don't remember the number right now. But she went from X in revenue with all of these employees and all of this complexity. And then she ended up stripping that all away. I think she does about half in revenue. Now she is putting more money in her pocket than she yeah. was when she was making more revenue. And she has a simpler, easier, less stressful business now.
Yeah.
And like, I think the title of that episode was Big Revenue Doesn't Equal Big Profit.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And sometimes it equals way less profit.
But yeah.
Which is so interesting. Yeah. When we really start to dig into that. And that's why I get feisty. Like, you guys do not need to buy into all of these things you hear just because you hear them, just because you see the entrepreneur down the street that looks wildly successful, Instagram worthy. And she says, da 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 da, does not mean that you know anything about what's going on in her back end. Believe me, because I work with amazing entrepreneurs that look wildly successful. And when we have our calls, there's tears. Like, I feel like a fraud. I'm out of control. I hate my business. I'm so trapped. And I was there. I remember feeling so trapped and so stuck in my business. But when I figured out why I was stuck and how I could fix that, just the simple keys, and that's what I love to give my clients, just the simple keys, just unlock that stuck feeling. And let's make decisions because you're financially free. So we need to get you to that financial freedom.
And most of us, we created a business to have more freedom, not to have X number of dollars in revenue with all of these employees. And now you are responsible for all of these. Is that why you got into entrepreneurship? That's not why I got into it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want my few contractors. Like, I don't want, I did the employee thing and all of, like, I don't want any of that. And you're right. Like, I do talk, just keep your eyes on your own paper, because you literally have no idea what's going on in the back end of that business. And like you, I've seen a lot of them and it ain't as pretty as it looks on the outside. I think too, there's also this message on the internet of dreaming big and you can accomplish whatever you want. And there's only so many female millionaires, and that is all great. Yes, I truly believe we need more women in the top 1%, right? Who self-made and all of that stuff. But wanting to have a simple, profitable, dare I say, boring business is not shameful.
Yeah.
It is not you thinking small. So that, I think, trips, because I've gotten caught up in it too. And I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
When I really sit back and think about what it is I'm creating and why I'm doing this and what I want my life to look like, it's not what that business looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I think it's so easy for us to get caught up in that. I mean, you and I know different because we've done things different and we still get caught up.
Yeah.
It was about a year and a half ago now. I was driving home with my husband and I was like, I literally out loud, I'm like, wait a second. Why do I have to create like a multiple offer, whatever it's called in our coaching world, you know, to the masses? Like, I was creating a membership and all these things. I'm like, wait a minute. Who said I have to do? Why am I doing that? Like, I love working one-on-one. I want to go to your store. I want to be in your location. I want to meet you. I want to know you. I want to help you fix a problem and send you on your way. I don't need to do all of these other things just because that's what coaches do and consultants do, right? We still fall into that trap.
100%.
And so that was a moment for me where I'm like, I'm going to shut this part of the business down. And that's really scary. Even though you and I both know it's good, it's still scary for us. I shut it down and I'm like, there's going to be several months where the revenue is going to go way down, but I know what I'm doing is good and I know where I want to get. Mm-hmm. So I think even if you are listening and you've overcome some of this, just keep evaluating yourself. Keep doing that internal audit of like, why am I pushing? Is this because I truly want to or need to? Is it because I'm told I should? Why am I selling all this stuff? You know, keep doing those audits, right?
Yeah, it's so important. And I think too, everyone needs to hear different things to stay motivated, right? Some people do need to feel like they're chasing this carrot to keep moving. And maybe you do want that business and that's awesome. Then build that. Great. But I find when I have conversations one-on-one with people, that's not what they want, right? Yeah. And you get caught up in the noise of the internet. I mean, I love the internet. It's literally what allows me to have this business, but it's also a horrific, toxic, make you feel like shit kind of place.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to be on guard and you have to know yourself and know what you truly want and make those defining guardrails for yourself and don't let the neighbor define those for you and the entrepreneur down the road and, you know, the social people that you follow, like they can't define that for you, or you'll find that you're, what am I doing this? I'm not even who I want to be or who I set out to be. It's so different. Yeah. And I'm not making money. What the heck?
Right. Because, and I do think that you get so distracted. That's when you fall off of like really paying attention to the details, right? Because you're just chasing all of this stuff. And then months goes by, maybe you don't look at your bank account, you don't look at your P&L, you don't look at the stuff. And you're like, wait, how did I even get here? That's why I think it is so important to be aware. And like you said, do that self audit. Because on the surface, you would think there's no connection between chasing this dream and looking at your dollars and your P&L. But actually, they are like two peas in a pod.
Yeah,
for sure.
I know. Can we talk about being committed versus interested? Because I am just like all into this conversation too lately.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I want to pick your brain on it. Okay, so thinking about, looking at all these people that I've worked with, okay, now hundreds of inventory-based business owners over the last, let's say, 4 years in this capacity. Everyone gets my framework. Everyone has the same information. Everyone has the same access to the same information. Why does it work for some? Why do some people not succeed with it? Why do they drop off? Why do they give up? Okay, so I'm trying to figure this out. What is it? What's the missing piece? And I've come to this conclusion that it's interested versus committed. Because everybody that comes to me is interested in not having debt. They're all interested in taking a paycheck. They're all interested in knowing what's going on with their money. But only some people are fully committed to doing the really mundane, hard work of going all the way with it. So tell me what you think of that. Like, am I on the right track with this?
100%. 100%. As you were saying this, I am immediately thinking about my own relationship with fitness.
Okay. Yep.
My entire life, I have never been able to stay consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even, let's talk, here's another example. My podcast versus my Instagram.
Okay.
Come hell or high water, I am here every single week. Yep. Even if I end up just posting a replay, sometimes it's very planned and intentional because it makes sense with the time of year. And I'm like, I already covered this. This is awesome. Go listen to it. And sometimes it's like, oh shit, things happen. But you know what? This would be a really great episode to replay. But every Tuesday, that podcast goes live.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, I haven't posted in there since December. And we're recording this at the beginning of March, right?
Yep.
So would it be cool if I had the Instagram going and consistent and all that? Yeah, it would be cool. But the podcast is what I love. Like, I love it. I want to do it. It's how I connect with my audience. It's how I stay in touch. And it's the commitment I made to be consistent here versus Instagram. But again, going back to the fitness thing, never been able, you know, would I like to be, feel stronger, be more toned? Yeah, I would love all of that. But I don't want it enough to go through the pain of staying consistent.
That's what it is. You don't want it enough.
Yes. And I've had this conversation too with my husband. So he does real estate photography. And as we know, the real estate market is in a weird place right now with interest rates and everything. The winter is always slow, but it was worse than ever. And I think they're starting to pick up now. And I think people have just realized, okay, interest rates are not coming down anytime soon.
Yeah.
So we still need to sell. Like, let's just do it. Or we still need to buy in. So things are coming back. But during that slow time, they were really like, okay, what if they don't have listings? Like, if our clients don't have listings, they have no reason to purchase our services. So what else can we offer them? And so they started offering social media packages, right? Let's do some videos for Instagram and all of this stuff. And the people who had the finances to do it were not interested. And I'm like, they're not in pain enough.
Yeah.
Right. She hasn't had a listing, but she's on her third vacation because she has so much money.
Right.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
She's not in enough pain. So I do think it comes down to, like you were saying, interested versus committed. But I think a lot of it is, how much pain are you in?
You know?
How important is this?
Yeah. How much do you really want it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if there is like a statistic or if it's just sort of this like general thing that people will work harder to avoid pain than chase pleasure.
Yeah. So this is interesting too, because it's the commitment. It's like, okay, so they don't like being in debt. It's really annoying. People are calling them. They're moving money around. So they really, really want to get out of debt. But when I say, okay, to get out of debt, we have to create a buying budget. You can't just go to market and buy whatever you want anymore, ever again. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds great. I've always needed a buying budget. Great. So we put it in plan and we put their regular budget in place. And then this comes up and that comes up and this employee needs that and this person needs that. And I go to market and my friends go with all the things, right? I had this conversation with a gal. She came back from market and she's like, Sierra, we were so tempted at market to just buy like we always did, because while that makes us uncomfortable in the long run, it's so much more comfortable than using your tool, which is really uncomfortable for us to use because we haven't been used to it. It's putting restrictions on us. And so I think when you go into a process like getting out of debt or creating a budget or using your profit in a better way for your business, you have to realize, just like working out, you make the commitment. It's really hard before it gets better. Like, it's going to get harder and worse most often before you're going to see any results, before it starts to get better. And so it's the people who know, like, the rewards on the other side, whether that's 3 months, 6 months, or a year down the road, I'll stick with that because I want to look like this. I want to complete this race. I want to be this fit. I want to get out of debt. Yeah. It's the follow through on the commitment too. Like as soon as that gets uncomfortable, we're like more comfortable with our pain than we are with the new process. Right. Process.
Yeah. The pain she was avoiding was using the tool.
Yeah. Cause that's not fun. I don't want to take my Excel laptop. I'm like, take it to market, punch it in, tell the lady you can't buy the stuff. She's like, well, that's not fun. No, it's not fun. You know, but what's really not fun is when the debt collectors call again next month. That's really not fun. You know?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And that's just like the human brain getting in the way, really. Because having spent so many years going to market and going to trade shows and showrooms and all that, like when you find that really cute fucking thing that you love, like that's a dopamine hit.
It is.
Looking at an Excel sheet, there's no dopamine there.
Oh, let's just be real. Until you start making money.
Yeah.
Then the game changes. And it's funny how my people who are like, I'm not a numbers person. I can't do this. You know, a year later, they're like, oh my goodness, what metric should I focus on now, Sierra? Because it can become that really exciting thing for you when you're like, if I do XYZ, I get to bump up my paycheck. I get to take a bonus along with every employee in the business. But it takes a while to get there. And that's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just willing to go through the mud in the beginning. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how you fix that.
It helps to have someone with you. I mean, that's why I think it's really important. Total plug for myself or anyone else that you can find that can help you. Like it truly is, right? So when I signed up for an Ironman, the first thing I did was hire a coach because I'm like, I don't know anything about how many workouts I do, what I should eat. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know how to ride bike. I know how to swim. I know how to run. I don't know how to put it together or cross the finish line. I have to hire someone. And my one qualification was they have to have done an Ironman. I'm not hiring a coach who hasn't done this. Like, I need to know that they know how I feel. And I wanted a female too. Like, line them up as close as you can to me, right? And that's why, because when you're in that mud, it's really hard to do it by yourself. Like when you get stuck. I mean, you were by yourself, which is how you got here in the first place, because you were doing business alone. Like you've got to have that personal insight, a good accountant, a bookkeeper, a profit strategist. You've got to have someone on your team. It's like doing ads, right? Like I just started fiddling around with ads on Sunday, Facebook ads again, because I'm like, oh, not going to hire anyone. I've had bad luck, all the things. Do you think I have one result? I mean, I've got a lot of clicks, but I don't know what I'm doing. Jessica, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I have no business running my Facebook ads. I really don't.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to be stuck. And what am I going to do? I'm going to be like, well, it's not working and I'm going to quit because I don't know what to do. And I need to have that professional alongside me. And we have to have those people on our team. So,
yeah. And I, you know, same thing, like from an ads perspective, concept, theory, all of that, have it down. But I've, you know, my previous day job, I worked there for 7 years. We couldn't run Facebook ads. I didn't learn how to do it. And when I do my own ads, they suck.
I know. And I've tried this before. Here's the thing. This is not my first go around at, you know, DIYing it. And I bought the course, never finished the course, you know. So like we were saying 30 minutes ago, we are not mocking you at all. We're saying, you guys, you know what? We're just like you. Like, I'm just like you. I bought courses, didn't finish them. Tried DIYing it. I have no business doing that. Hire a professional. Have someone come alongside you. Have you do it right. I'll save a lot more money, even if I'm only spending $10 a day on my Facebook ads.
Oh, 100%.
It's going in the trash, I'll tell you that.
It's funny, too. I've had multiple businesses. They've all been product businesses. This is my first informational coaching course, whatever the fuck this business is. I don't even know anymore.
Whatever they call it.
And I'm still learning, right? And I'm still figuring out what it is that I want my business to look like and all of that stuff. And I have bought the courses that seemed really great on the outside. And then you get in there and it's actually just super fucking overwhelming. And you want to hear a really stupid thing I did?
Yes.
I bought a course from someone, didn't really like it. And there's something in the way that she teaches and talks where I'm like, do I even understand what she's saying?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. Do you know I ended up buying another course from her?
Stop it. So she's good at marketing.
The marketer was like duped by marketing. Okay.
Yeah.
So like, cause it was so pretty and packaged on the outside.
Yeah.
And then I bought this thing and I was like, wait, why do this? And of course I didn't really come to the realization until I had already passed the refund window. But I was just like, oh my God, this is stupid. Why did I do this? I'm still making those mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
Since then, I have found the person who, when I look at the business, and she's so transparent, even about the back end of her business and the people that she has helping her and all of that stuff. So I really trust what I'm seeing. I'm like, that's the business I want. Not this one over here. Yeah, she's great at marketing and it's all packaged super pretty. But when I actually look at her business, I'm like, oh, I don't even want that kind of business.
Yeah. You're like, what is that? Yeah.
But I look at this person over here who's like picked up her family and moved overseas for a year and still running her business and doing all that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the business I want. This is the person that I need to be paying attention to. So I think you also, you know, not only have they done the thing that you're trying to do, but they've done it in the way you want to do it.
Yeah, right. They got the results that you're looking for.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there that will teach you how to hit the seven-figure number and all of that. But what they didn't tell you is that it cost them 700 grand in ads to do that. And then by the time you look at the margin and the operating expenses, there's actually not that much left over, right? Because they're just showing you the screenshot of the revenue.
Yeah, the cute little screenshot of your Shopify dashboard. You're like, look at this. Yeah.
Oh my God, I hate those. So it's important that you are being discerning, learning how to create the kind of business that you want to create.
Yeah. Yeah. And that you're working with people, like you said, who have been there and done that, that can say like, yep, I totally know how you feel right now. So many times I'll be like, I know what that feels like. That you can't sleep. Like, I know what that feels like to not sleep, but I also know what it feels like when we fix that and I sleep amazing and I can train 20 hours a week at the same time as doing what I like. I know that side of it too. Mm-hmm. And you want people that know that and truly, because there's so many people that are out there promising, especially now that education is so easily and readily available.
Yeah.
People will teach you anything for a price. Make sure you hire people who have been in your shoes and have successfully come out on the other side. Like you said, that they're where you want to be.
Oh my God. And I've recently started, I got caught up in this like YouTube rabbit hole because I started actually watching political things, which I don't normally do, but I'm like, I don't know if I watch everyone, maybe I could just like find the thread of truth across all of it, right? Because it's just a very chaotic space we're in. And then I got caught up in this other little YouTube rabbit hole topic. And there's all of these people and these creators teaching this thing, which I'm not even going to give lip service to on this podcast. But I don't even think some of these people believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're doing it because they know that the algorithm likes it and it's getting them attention and people are donating money to them and they're earning YouTube revenue. It's like, I don't even believe they believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I hate to be so pessimistic, but there's just some shitty people on the internet, you know?
There absolutely is. I know. I hear my daughter walked in. I know you're super laid back and she's talking to the dog. So we might hear her in the fact she doesn't know I'm on podcast. And I didn't know she's coming home. So I'm home alone, left my office door open. But yeah, I think so too. Like in the education space, like pay attention, look at the work that they've proven that they've done and like look at their life outside of just that one Instagram reel that's going viral or that YouTube video. Be discerning, like you said. Look around, be discerning. Just don't buy in because it's quick, easy, quick promises, flashy content. Yeah. You know, I always think of like my stuff is not sexy, although making money is sexy, but numbers talk is not very right. Yeah. And so a lot of my clients, we just kind of fly under the radar. Like we're not flashy. We're not because we don't have a product that's flashy to sell. And when you find product that actually works, like you, same thing with you, slow and steady. You're not out there like jumping around doing all the stuff because you just have like a really good product. It takes time to do it well. Those are the people that you want to follow, right? The people that have been around, slow and steady, looking at the testimonials versus the newest whiz bang.
Yeah.
Promise. Yeah.
The faster they say it's going to work, the less likely it's going to be sustainable or work at all.
And the easier they say it is, I'll tell you that too. If they're like, I promise, you know, 30 days from now, you'll be a bajillionaire. Like, okay.
Red flag.
Yeah. Hard things take time. That's for sure.
100%. All right. So if we kind of lost our audience somewhere along the way in our chat here, What would be the number one thing you want people to take away from today's episode?
You don't have the luxury anymore of playing store with your store. You need to be the boss of your business, which means you need to figure out where are the gaps when it comes to numbers and financials, and you have to commit to changing course, getting the help you need, and figuring it out. No more procrastinating. We don't have time. We just do not have time. Like, our houses are on the line. Our retirement's invested. We've given up jobs. We're spending so much time in our businesses. Our mental health is on the line. We have to get the numbers right. And so, yeah, I think just stop playing store with your store and run it like a business. Get help if you need help.
Knowledge is power, really. I know it's scary at first, really getting a handle on all of those numbers, but there is so much freedom and liberation in understanding what's actually happening.
What's actually going on? Because it's going on, whether you look at it.
Yeah.
Like you said, whether you understand it or not, it's still going on. So let's at least be in control of what's going on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good. Please tell my audience where they can find you. And if they need your help, how do they get your help?
SierraStockley.com is the easiest place. All the links, freebies, my book, resources, blog, podcast, all the stuff is at my website. So that'd be the easiest, SierraStockley.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here again. Thank you, audience, for hanging out with us. I know that you could be anywhere on the internet. I really appreciate that you're here with us. Have a kick-ass rest of your day, and I'll see you on the flip side, friend. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you want to learn more about growing your e-commerce business, get started with my free resource library at ecommercebadassery.com/free-stuff and get an invite to The Lounge, my e-commerce marketing membership. When you're ready for one-on-one support, apply to work with me at ecommercebadassery.com/apply. Before you go, would you do me a quick favor? Leave a rating and review and tap that follow button. This pushes me up the chart so I can support more scrappy e-commerce entrepreneurs just like you. I'm on a mission to reach as many as I can, and I could really use your help. Thanks so much in advance. Until next time, e-commerce friend, stay badass.